These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and heavens, when no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground. And a mist was going up from the land, and was watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord formed the man of dust from the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden, in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first river is the Pishon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river is the Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock, and to the birds of the heavens, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." Amen. Thanks be to God for the reading of his word.
Let's share in our prayer together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Christianity is a missionary movement. With every breath we take, with every pulse that beats in the life of the church, we are a missionary church. Our God, the one God we worship and love and serve, is a missionary God. As a congregation of the church, we are engaged by God, commissioned by him to serve in his mission. Our purpose in being the church is to share in the mission of God. Let's be quite blunt. There is no other reason in being the church than to encourage one another to be actively sharing in the mission of God. John Stott wrote, "Mission arises from the heart of God himself and is communicated from his heart to ours." Mission is the global outreach of the global people of a global God. Mission is not just for one nation or one city or one community, but is global for the whole planet, for the whole of creation. All of the people of God are engaged by God in his mission. That transfer, the beat of God's heart, transfer to ours, that our heartbeats might be twinned. The Bible tells us the great story of God's mission. For a long time, and maybe you've heard before, sermons or talks with titles like, what is the biblical basis for mission? As though the Bible were a book out of which grows the great structure of mission. But the Bible is the foundation. Recent thinking in both the nature of the Bible and the nature of mission has reversed that. Now we would say that the mission of God is the foundation, the deep soil, out of which grows, amongst other things, the Bible. The Bible itself has no purpose apart from the mission of God. It bears witness to that mission. And because of that mission, God in his love and his grace for us has given us his word. The word of God bears testimony to a story, a great story of God's work, a great story of God's mission. We might think of it as a mountain range with four peaks: creation, fall, redemption, and new creation. If you're doing some hill walking and you're going along a range of hills up at the top, it's really important to know where you are on that range, on that ridge. If you think you're on the first peak and you're away along at the third one, you're going to face different challenges. It's really important to know what the story is and where we are in it if we're going to make sense of God's mission and what's happening among us. And so over these next few weeks, we're going to look at this great story of God's mission, this big Bible story. We're going to see where we fit into the story and how in each place in the story our task is to share in God's mission wherever we are. If the church does not engage in mission, if the church refuses to share in the mission of God, quite simply, she is not the church. Only by sharing in God's mission can we be the church of God. That's what we're going to pray about and read about and sing about and hear about these next few weeks. Julie Andrews taught us that the beginning is a very good place to start. In God's story, we find that creation is the beginning. And as we saw, creation, or new creation, is also the end of the story. Our God is a creator God. Our God has a mission towards or for his creation. From our reading this morning, the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. To work it and keep it. What is described here in these two verbs, to work and to keep, is what we might call our human vocation. Now, I've noticed that vocation is a word which has dropped out of our vocabulary. I think there used to be a time when we spoke of people having a vocation more than we do now. We might have used it of teachers and nurses, folks who gave their life to serve and care for others. In the church, we have used it of missionaries who would go overseas to serve. They have a vocation. The Church of Scotland uses it in terms of vocation conferences. If people feel a particular call to ministry, the word vocation might be used. But this idea of our life being given for others seems really important. And that seems to be what God is speaking about in this verse in Genesis 2. Every human put in the garden, located in his creation, to work it and to keep it. That's our calling. That's our area of service in God's mission. God is the creator who serves his creation. God calls us as humans also to serve his creation, to care for his creation. God has set humans within his creation not to abuse and destroy, but to develop, to cultivate, to guard, to enable to flourish. What a great word that is. Our mission in relation to creation is that we might serve creation in its flourishing, in its being made beautiful. What a great mission that is to serve in. And since we're talking about creation here, we remember from chapter 1 in Genesis that the Lord God created man and woman both equally in his image, bearers of his image and likeness. Part of the image and likeness of God, which is impressed upon all humans, is this desire, this imperative to care for creation, to serve what God has made that it might flourish. The story of God's mission begins with God's creative work. The story of God's mission will end with God's recreative work. Over both, God will declare, "It is good." The goodness of God, the glory of God, is to be displayed in creation and recreation. And we get to serve the display of that glory. It is our human vocation then to serve, to guard, to care for creation. Yes, we know God has given creation to provide food, water, shelter, resources for us. God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food." God has so ordered his creation that all the things we need, food, water, resources, are already built in. There is no circumstance or situation going to come at any point in the history of God's creation when God thinks, "I wish I'd made this or that. I wish I'd built it some other way." Everything that is needed is already built in. God has given us food within his creation, and we thank him for that. But it is food for consumption, not extinction. Harvesting food to the point of extinction is not care, is not flourishing. It is not working and keeping. It is destroying. Here, our sharing the mission of God calls us to declare truth to power. One of the key works of the church is to speak words of truth in the halls of power. The powers in our age are those multinational companies who day and daily abuse God's creation by their intensive farming, they're strip mining. More recently, they're fracking, logging the rainforests, hoovering up fish from the seas, flying food all around the world in unnecessary aeroplane flights, which pollute both the air and the land below. The truth is, we really don't need strawberries all year round. Do you remember the days, I know I do, when it used to be a strawberry season? And it was a joy to suddenly have strawberries in the shop, which you hadn't had the week or two before. And people looked forward to these seasons when different fruits and foods would become available. We don't need to take over fields in Africa to grow strawberries and then fly them halfway around the world all year round. We need fields in Africa to grow food for the hungry people in Africa. That sounds like caring for God's creation. If we continue to abuse God's creation the way we presently are, not only will we destroy the world around us, we fail in our vocation. Our role as humans is to care, to keep, to enable to flourish. We're getting perilously close to destroying what we are charged to care for. How then do we express the mission of God in our care for creation? I think we need to begin with thankful praise. When was the last time you stopped and looked up and saw the Pentland Hills and thought, my, that's wonderful. God made them. When was the last time you saw the sun and the clouds and the rain and you thought, God made them? And even just to yourself, you paused and said, thank you. Minister from Australia tells a story of someone in his community called Hallelujah Joe. Joe was forever getting excited about something God had done and was crying out, Hallelujah. And the story he told was one day Joe went to the dentist and he came in for his appointment. He's sitting in the reception area and the receptionist went through to the dentist. She said, you've got to come out and speak to him. If Joe starts shouting hallelujah, he's going to disturb the patients. Now think about that for a minute. You're in a dentist. What's going to disturb you more? Somebody shouting hallelujah or the sound of a drill? But the receptionist thought somebody should come out and make sure Joe didn't shout out hallelujah. So the dentist came out. He said, now Joe, no shouting out hallelujah here. And he rummaged on the table. You know that one they have in dentist's office? Where magazines migrate to, and they stay there for years and years. And he found this old copy of National Geographic, and he gave it to him. He said, there, read that. No hallelujahs. And he went through, and he just started on the patient, and the loudest, most rip-roaring hallelujah burst through the building. And he tore it out. He said, Joe, what have you found to hallelujah about? He said, look, here's this picture of the Mariana Trench. It's the deepest trench in the world. And the Bible says, that's how deep God's buried my sin. And I'm going to shout hallelujah. Because of something in God's creation. This great thing that God has made. And how it connects to the promises that God has given us. When did we last notice creation like that? If you want to shout out hallelujah real loud the next time you're at the bus stop, go for it. But if you just want to say it quietly into yourself, go for that as well. But notice the world that God has made. And let's be thankful for it. And let's give God the thanks for it because he made it. We didn't make it. It isn't here by chance. Thankful praise as we respond to God. Simple living. Simple living. We receive the blessings of creation. The warm sun, the rain, the wind, the food, the natural resources, water and stone and soil and earth. But we don't abuse We need to recognize the impact our choices have on God's creation. And in our serving, in our sharing in the mission of God, we need to choose more simply. The Institute of Civil Engineers have a motto, a kind of a mission statement, if you like, to harness the great resources of nature for the benefit of mankind. What an arrogant, boastful statement that is. We are going to take all the resources that we find in the world and we are going to harness them. We are going to try to control and manipulate them for the benefit of just one small part of creation, people. Wouldn't it be better if in our mission of God, our desire was to celebrate the great resources of creation and share in enabling them to flourish for the benefit of all creation? Isn't that a missionary goal worthy of our calling, our vocation to serve God's creation? I think we need a bigger idea of what is included in the word redemption. Most people, when we talk about mission, think about sharing the gospel with other people so that they will believe in Jesus and be saved and get to go to heaven when they die. That is only a part of redemption. That's not the whole story of redemption. The purpose of God is not only to redeem people, but to redeem, to renew and restore all creation. What does it mean to celebrate God's redemption of the mountains and the valleys and the trees and the rivers and the seas and all the creatures that God has made? To celebrate the truth that in Jesus and his work on the cross, all of creation is being renewed and restored to that condition where God says, it is good. It is very good. Our mission, the mission of God, is to people, but is not only to people. The mission of God is towards, it is for the blessing and benefit of all creation. And we need a much bigger idea of what God is saying when he says, all things are redeemed in Christ. We, as we fulfill our vocation, as we work and keep creation, as we serve the flourishing of creation, we are good news for all creation. That's what we are called to serve in the mission of God. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you that in your love, you have made all the things we see and all the things we don't see. We praise you that you have called us and given us this vocation to serve your creation. And we pray that you would inform us in this day by day, give us thankful hearts, teach us paths of simple living. Father, we pray that we together would be the good news that you send to your creation. Be at work among us for this, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.